Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hatton will snap it. There it is. Fox the hold. Kick away. Up and it is good.
Yes, sir.
These Detroit Lions.
Yes,
you want to talk about grit. You want to talk about determination. You want to talk about resiliency. This team is all of those things. What a night for the Detroit Lions.
Lions Radio, memorable game last night. Lions win, beat the Packers. They have now swept the Packers for the season. They've got the inside track on the number one overall seed in the NFC. They're 4-0 against the division. It's a historic start. Everything's just coming up Lions right now, Perloff. Even in a game where they were losing guys on the defensive side of the ball, but the Dan Campbell aggressiveness is yet again the headline and going for it on that controversial fourth down play, and it sealed the win.
Yeah, it's not how I saw the game. I saw it as him playing with fire on these fourth down calls. Again, I feel like as an Eagles fan, like, yes, I like everything I'm seeing on the field last night. I've seen Lions defenders going down, more Lions defenders. I'm seeing Packers defenders going down because the Packers are also a major, major threat in the NFC. I'm not sure the Lions can beat the Packers three times in a row. That's hard to do anytime. They were right there, and it felt like Jordan Love figured something out during that game. The second half, he looked great. I think the NFC North is overinflated because they've beaten up on the AFC South. I think this NFC is going to be a wild, wild playoffs. I think there's going to be, Dan Campbell's going to have to make this fourth down call in a close NFC title game, and it is going to be very, very controversial. I think it's going to be close. I don't think they're going to blow out teams.
So it's controversial, but he'll do it easily. And he'll do it with no conscience because that's just who they are. And he did it last year with no conscience, and it did burn them against the 49ers. But at the same time, they're right back at it again.
Yeah,
in fact,
kind of burned him last night, too.
He's doing it more. Well, it didn't, though, because, yes, they had one of their five fourth downs that did not convert. Did lead to a Packers
by far the riskiest one because they were deep in their own territory. When you go for it on the one, it's not nearly as risky because what's the downside? You don't make it, and the other team has the ball at the one. The real risky one, like if he does that against a team like the Eagles with Saquon Barkley and misses, say Jalen Carter breaks through the line, then that's very bad because in a really close game, that could hurt you. That's why I say I think the Lions are the best team, but man, they just feel like an adventure sometimes.
Well, that's for sure, but this is how they want to live. You know, it's one thing if you're riding this roller coaster and you feel like you're hanging on by the seat of your pants, or in a weird way, when the Lions play in this frenetic way and in this risky way, it feels like in control, though. It's controlled chaos because this is how they're choosing to live. It's not like Dan Campbell, who had been an assistant coach in the league for a long time. he understands. He could kick field goals. He could be conservative. It's not like he doesn't understand how to play that way. They're choosing to do this.
It doesn't feel controlled to me. It didn't feel controlled when Jameson Williams flipped the ball at Tyreek Stevenson's head in the Thanksgiving game and cost me my bet on the Lions spread. It doesn't feel controlled when Jared Goff has a key fourth down play and trips on the center's foot.
Fluky, but he still got the ball to him.
Didn't feel controlled. I'm just saying, they feel like they are fast and loose. They feel like they're playing with fire. It feels like Jared Goff is throwing into tight, tight windows often. And it also feels to me, I'm going back to the NFC title game, get Jared Goff off his spot, and it can be an adventure.
Well, that's why I think last night was so particularly important, why they were extra aggressive. Even Jared Goff told us this after the game. They were extra aggressive, not just because the defense was banged up and they wanted to help out their defense, but because I think the Lions, while they would never say this, they want home field. I don't think they want to go to San Francisco. And this is not because Jared Goff can't play in bad weather, but I think they want the more controlled elements, because if you are going for it on these fourth downs, you don't want to worry about a wet football or the ground being slippery or all these things, these little margin things.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think, you know, home field is not as big an advantage this year. It's been talked about a lot. I think a team like the Eagles, I don't think the Packers are very good outside. Like, I think they looked worse in the weather in Green Bay than the Lions did. I think the Packers looked pretty comfortable offensively last night, especially towards the end of the game. I just think it's going to be a very, very evenly matched, close NFC playoffs, and it's going to come down to one of these big calls. It very well might work. I'm not saying it won't. Sure. I'm just saying, like, I don't think they need it. I think they can pound teams. Their running backs are so good. You hit him with Montgomery, you hit him with Gibbs, then Amon-Ra St. Brown. That guy is amazing. I know you bet on him every week. He's great.
An Amon-Ra, St. Brown over like 5.5 receptions feels like it cashes every time, but I've gone away from that bet.
Yeah, well, last night he didn't get any targets.
Here's the thing. You say the reason why they have these offensive weapons means they don't have to be super aggressive. I think the opposite. I think it's why they feel comfortable being so aggressive. It's because they know they can pick up a yard. And whether it's with Montgomery or whether it's with Gibbs or whether it's with Sam Laporta or whether it's now with Tim Patrick or now it's with Jameson Williams or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Why is Jameson Williams going to help you get a yard?
Well, I'm just saying he's someone who has to be accounted for at all times. They have
not
so
on fourth
many
and one.
Weapons.
I'd pray you throw to that guy, because you never know what's going to happen when he's on the other end.
We put a poll out for you. It's at Maggie and Pearl on X. Is Dan Campbell a weapon or a liability for the Lions? The public is with me. 71% say weapon, 29% say liability. And I would like to point out how different that is from last year after the NFC Championship game, when most people wanted Dan Campbell, like, run out of town.
Right. Well, what's the difference between today's poll and that poll?
Well, they won versus they lost.
Right. So if they did not get the first down and Green Bay comes back and it's a field goal, do you think it would be 71-29?
I kind of think it would be a little bit closer, because I think people understand now Dan Campbell is not messing around here when he's talking about being more aggressive. Because if you didn't change your behavior after what happened in the NFC Championship game last year and you blew a 3-score lead, then you're not changing. This is who you are. You're not whatever way the wind blows. So I think people respect it because it's who they are, and it's gotten them off to the best start in franchise history.
I don't think that has gotten them off to the best start. I think the fact that they have the best team in the NFL, they have the most talented team. Now, listen, the Aiden Hutchinson injury does change that a little bit. The defense is a work in progress. There were guys who didn't even know what the play calls were last night running around. like Kwon Alexander he looked so confused on so many different plays, but that's natural. It's not their fault they had injuries. I just think their offense is so unbelievably talented. To say that they're that good because of the fourth down calls is ridiculous to me. They're that good because they have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta. You just mentioned and now Tim Patrick, who is such a great possession receiver. I think they're that good because they're that good, not because of fourth down.
855-212-4227. So we'll agree to disagree on this one. I think Campbell is a weapon. Perloff thinks he's a liability. In fact, even a little more confident that his Eagles would have a better shot against the Lions in a big game because of Campbell.
I don't mention Nick Sirianni in that conversation.
Who's got the coaching edge there?
Yeah, I'm going to ignore who our coach is and just go with the anti-Dan Campbell take.
There you go. 855-212-4227. Okay, you weigh in on last night's game. You know, we have not gotten to the Packers side of this, by the way. We haven't really heard from a lot of Packer fans. I know we're on in Milwaukee. How are you devastated by this one? I mean, Jordan Love was ineffective in the first half. 3 for 7 for 31 yards. Yeah. They could not pick up a first down if their lives depended on it. And then the second half, totally different story. 9 for 13, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns. And Dan Campbell, I think part of the reason they went for it on 4th and inches, besides the fact that it's in their DNA now, is because he didn't want to give any time back to Jordan Love. I think it was a healthy respect for Jordan Love, too.
Well, I think the Packers are like the Lions and the Eagles, ball control. They want to just run Josh Jacobs every time they possibly can. I think that first half, they were desperately trying to establish Jacobs. The Lions' defense looked like a house on fire to start the game.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but then maybe they got less aggressive because they did not seem like they were chasing after Jordan Love like the way they did in the first half.
The guys got banged up, too.
Yeah, could be.
Lee McNeil had to leave the game because of a head injury, and Brian Branch looked like he was banged up at one point.
I don't think the Packers are scared, by the way. I think they think they're in it. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing about last night's game that said they can't compete with the Lions.
They might have a little confidence because they went on the road last year and beat the Cowboys so easily. Like, hey, if we have to go on the road, we could do this. Yeah, don't need Lambeau.
They look better in Detroit than they did in Green Bay against the Lions. I mean, this was a very close game, so they probably have some confidence. I assume they're going to meet again. It doesn't seem like fait accompli that Green Bay and Detroit are headed for a third matchup.
I'm here for it. 855-212-4227. All right, we want to play a little game here because we've had some news items coming up in the last 24 hours. We're going to play our favorite game, Do You Believe It? Executive producer EJ Stewart will throw us a topic. Perloff and I will tell you, do we believe it?
All right, so we talked about it in, I believe, the last hour that Bill Belichick interviewed with the North Carolina Tar Heels for their head coaching position. Not basketball, football. Do you believe it that Bill Belichick would be interested in coaching at North Carolina?
I do not believe it. I think Bill Belichick is trying to get the ball rolling here on the interview circuit, sending a message. Listen, call me. I'm available. I'm open for business, but I ultimately think the NFL is where he wants to go. He's just looking for the right place who will give him a lot of power. But no, I do not believe he is actually interested in coaching the Tar Heels.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to counter you, but there's no way. If he goes to Chapel Hill, I will be beyond shocked because there's no upside there. There's no way North Carolina football is winning a national title. Why he would not go to the NFL. Now, you guys said something, or somebody said something, maybe a caller, that the NFL doesn't want Bill Belichick anymore.
Oh, EJ said
that.
Was me.
EJ, how is that possible? How could the NFL, with some of this coaching we've seen around the bottom feeder teams, not want Bill Belichick? It doesn't compute in my brain, Maggie.
Well, maybe the same reason about North Carolina. Is Bill interested in just any old NFL job, or does he want a specific one? I think he wants one where he's going to have a lot of power. So, for example, he's not going to be a candidate in Chicago. He may never have been, but he's not because Kevin Warren is the president there, and we see how powerful he is, and I don't think he wants someone disrupting that, for example. But no, I do not believe that Belichick is going to coach at UNC, and how hilarious would it be if he actually did want to be the basketball coach? The fact you had to clarify that is pretty funny.
Now, if it was Navy,
North Carolina.
Yeah, if it was Navy, then I would say yes, not North Carolina.
So let's go to baseball, where Buster Olney and Jeff Passan of ESPN are reporting that Juan Soto's contract offers are north of $750 million. That would be more than the record contract that Shohei Ohtani signed last year with the Dodgers. So do you believe Soto's contract will top $350
million? No,
$750 million. Yeah. I said 350, sorry, 750.
I do.
Wishful thinking.
I definitely do. That's a pocket change to these guys. 780. The Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, and the Red Sox. I don't know about the Red Sox. The Mets guy is a bazillionaire. The Yankees are the Yankees. The Dodgers have more money than they know what to do with. Yeah, they can easily afford this. I totally believe it.
I do not believe it because I don't think that Juan Soto's taken the deferred money that Shohei decided to take. So $700 million, but you get $690 of it in the year 2050 or what have you. I think Soto wants the money. And so I think he'll take the bird in the hand, whatever that saying. I think he wants the guaranteed now, so he would take less to have an average of, you know, 50 or 60 million now instead of deferred money.
Sorry, is a 750, what is the reporting on how much of that is deferred? I didn't think it was like Shohei deferred.
I saw some saying that there is some deferred money.
But I still think like it's close to like a lot closer to real 750 than Shohei's money, as I understand it.
I don't think anyone's going to take as much deferred money as Shohei decided to. That was still kind of mind-boggling.
Okay, so let's get to the last one here. And we kind of got a little bit of a hint of this from Cardale Jones earlier in the week, who said that he did not believe his former coach Urban Meyer wanted to coach in college football anymore. And Urban Meyer apparently agrees with Cardale Jones' assessment. He says this week that he has no interest in coaching again. Do you believe that Urban Meyer does not want to coach college football anymore?
No, I don't believe anything that Urban Meyer says. I think he absolutely does want to and will. I think he's going to be very picky about it, obviously, and very strategic. I think he doesn't want to create a distraction for Ryan Day when Ohio State is already down because they're lost to Michigan, but they still have the college football playoff ahead of them, Perloff. But no, I think Urban Meyer is live in every coaching cycle.
Yeah, I actually believe him. And I'll tell you why. I feel like he's gotten a taste for the easy life in TV. It reminds me a little bit of Jimmy Johnson. Like, Jimmy Johnson probably going to have gone back 10 times. Does he want the aggravation? I read that he makes $7 million a year now. I don't know, because, like, what's the program where he's going back? It's got to be, like, a premier program, right? They all have so many headaches. I would almost stay in TV if I were him. Like, where would you go?
Notre Dame some point. You could go to LSU at some point.
Oh, my God. It's even more pressure.
You could go back to Ohio State at some point. You could go to USC.
USC is interesting because at least it's in L.A. But I guess all those like seem like a lot of work, to be totally honest with you, especially a guy who's almost died when the last, you know, he's a very intense man. I don't know. Also, the NIL thing, I think, hurts his chances of coming back. You know, he's very much like Belichick and Saban. They're all really good friends. Saban, obviously, I do think, left the game in part because NIL. Why wouldn't that apply to Urban?
Because I think he's an egomaniac. 855-212-4227. I think that was it, right?
That is it.
I think he's got a big ego, I think.
I mean, that TV life is good, though. And we all...
Man, you said he's making $7 million?
Yeah, I mean, he is...
Has he made one headline for them? Besides saying, I'm going to go back, and he didn't even do that on a Fox platform.
The only headline he made was
that... he said he's not going back.
The only headline he made was that meme. Remember that meme where it had that graphic of, like, the things Urban Meyer teaches to his students? And it was, like, all about, like, honor and, you know, being a good person. And everybody was like, this is the man that was grabbing ass in the club? You guys remember that graphic, right? Fox had that graphic of like Urban Meyer's keys to success as a young person.
Here's the keys to success: get rich, open a restaurant, name it after yourself, and then when young women come in there, dance with them like nobody's watching.
Crazy.
Yeah. See, that's the ego on the guy. The fact that he never thought that was going to be, that would get out. Like everyone in that restaurant was just protect him, I guess. Nobody would spill a secret.
He told his employer he went to see his grandkids.
Yeah, he didn't fly back with the team. Remember that?
That was the whole thing.
Was that was such a debacle.
Yeah, that was the thing, is that he didn't go back with the team, and then that was what he was doing. It wasn't just that he was at the club. It was that they suffered like a devastating loss to the Bengals. It was like a game where they actually played one of their better games. It was a close game. Doesn't fly back with the team because he's in Ohio. I want to see my grandkids. I know your grandkid was 35 years old with, you know, blonde hair, tight jeans. I didn't think that was going to be what we were going to see.
Man. But, yeah, I think he's going to coach again.
And, by the way, for that group of friends, Nick, Belichick, and Urban, she was relatively old compared to the woman Belichick was dating.
Well, that's what we didn't bring up. Is Belichick just looking to go back to go to college and take a job so his girlfriend can get free tuition or something?
Or if the things don't work out with his girlfriend, he'll have a new dating pool.
Maybe she's going for some kind
Les Miles style.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, ethically, Belichick could definitely.
Arts community.
Ethically, Bill Belichick could fit in college football. But there's no way he has the patience to build a program in North Carolina.
What's his girlfriend's major was like history or something. That's how they connected and bonded on their flight.
I said something and I kind of, I guess she got an advanced degree, but it was in cosmetology I'm reading.
Listen, great way to make a living.
Yeah, but I thought she had like a master's in history, not beauty school.
Maybe Belichick's into that kind of thing. I don't know. He was very curious about makeup. Shades. I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, we both don't think, I mean, if he went to North Carolina, that would be the craziest headline. Like, how Is he really going to have the patience to like go and visit the recruits? Can you imagine Bill Belichick walking into your living room? That'd be the funny. I'd love a video of that.
Well, because he's not Mr. Warm and fuzzy. Also, I don't think he's Mr. Car Salesman. You know, you're really right. Trying to sell these recruits and their families. I don't think he's got any of that in.
And if they ask, well, tell me about the program's legacy. What the heck does he know about North Carolina football?
Who's let alone college ask Bill football. Belichick about the legacy. No.
So tell me about your program and like how you guys have approached the college football. Like, well, I don't know. I run a 4-3 hybrid 3-4. Like, there's no way he has any idea how to recruit.
He doesn't have to. He's Bill Belichick. The name recruits itself, which is why the craziest part of this story is that it's North Carolina that's not interested, reportedly.
Do you think a 17-year-old has any idea? Like, Bill Belichick, the name recruits himself? I don't know that they even care.
Wait, Nico, you're the youngest person on the show by a lot. How old are you?
25.
Do you understand the mystique of Bill Belichick or do you not?
Of course, yeah.
But if you're a 17-year-old like wide receiver out of Florida, do you think like Bill Belichick has a super advantage? You're like, oh man, I want to go play for that guy.
I mean, if you're a football player, you should know who Bill Belichick is. Like, it's not like me not knowing what GQ is. Like,
yes, that was very different.
Player, you should know the history of the sport that you play.
It just doesn't strike me as a natural recruiting relationship. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to play for Bill Belichick. Nobody's ever uttered those words.
Wait a minute, though. My question with this too is, if Bill Belichick is going to colleges, what the hell are these other colleges doing? Like, if North Carolina can get an interview where he's blowing them away, like, hello, Florida.
Yeah.
Like, get rid of Napier, Florida State. What are you doing? Like, there are a bunch of schools. I mean, dare I say Ole Miss. I know they love Lane Kiffin. Like, you want to get over the hump? Like, there are plenty of bigger programs you think that Bill Belichick, in theory, would be a better option, right?
EJ, his phone should be ringing off the hook today. Right. The fact that college is even a possibility, Ohio State? I'm sorry, nobody should be safe now outside of who? Is there any college football coach who would be 100% safe if you put them up against Belichick?
You know, people hate playing for Bill Belichick. Everybody.
But you know what they love?
Every single person,
They love winning.
You know, college kids? Know what they love? They love NIL money, and they love targets, and they love themselves. They don't care about that. There's no way Bill Belichick could be an effective recruiter. They like Ed O.
If you're built for this, you're built for it in college or you're built for it in the pros.
That's 100% not true.
Why not? Why is it not true?
Because college is a completely different sort of matrix of success.
I agree with Pearl.
No.
Okay. I mean, I think it's obvious. Like, you can recruit in college. You don't recruit in the NFL. You draft. And you sign free agents.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the type of player, right? Like, if you're all about targets and yourself, you're going to be like that in college and the pros. In some ways, it's probably better to weed out those people if you want to play for Bill Belichick. Not everyone can play for Bill.
Well, I think now in college, you have to be very protective of your playing time. Like, you got to get out on the field, so you'll leave. And if the coach is rubbing you the wrong way, if the coach is like, I'm benching you, then you're like, okay, I'm transferring.
Right.
So, and Belichick always holds, you know, he's old school. He would definitely bench a guy who did the wrong thing. So that guy's going to leave the program.
And what if guys like Tom Brady and others come out and said, like, this is that you should actually think about sticking it out and toughing it out. And beyond that, I think we give a lot of credit to the guys who do stick around.
I mean, that's because of their contract. Like, if they had choices, like, they would obviously leave. And a lot of them do leave. I mean, he just doesn't feel like a rah-rah college coach either. I think a college coach, like, you told me Dan Campbell wanted to coach college. I'm like, yes, let's go. But, like, Bill Belichick feels like a football technician, not like a, hey, let's go beat him. You
listen,
know?
If you don't have to, if you're in a position where you don't have to take every last dollar in college to support your family or whatever, if you're in a dire situation, but if you're not, and if I'm a parent and my son's playing football and I have a chance for them to go play football for Bill Belichick, I'm doing it. And I don't even know if my kid's going to make it to the pros, because that's never a guarantee for any person, even the highest recruit. But I want them to play for Belichick.
Not me, especially if you're a wide receiver. I'm thinking of those guys. Like, they will avoid that program like the plague.
855-212-4227. All right, lots to do. We still have picks to make and more next.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Bogusin. I want Bogus to weigh in on this debate real quick. Because I feel like I was really right in the last segment, and you were really wrong. Sorry. Not that you made a good
Maggie argument. Maggie was right.
But there's no way Bill Belichick would be a good college football coach, right? Like, can you imagine Bill Belichick going into a living room and recruiting? The whole thing seems ridiculous to me.
Well, I don't think that happens anymore. I think this is just, like, who the NIL guys bring
That's a good
you.
Point. That's
it's
a good
like
point.
It's like having a GM. Literally, they call them GMs, don't they? who controls the purse strings, like whatever Woj does for St.
Right.
Bonaventure.
I can just picture him coaching a bunch of 18-year-olds. It'd be like the third day. He's like, these guys are idiots. I can't imagine him having patience to coach college football. Those are young men, and they're totally undisciplined. Like, he felt like he couldn't even handle pros.
Who were contractually linked to him for multiple years.
Yes.
These guys are like 7 months at a time.
You guys are missing something. What did Belichick always love? When he could find value in somebody, even if they were a couple screws loose. Obviously, the most famous example and tragic is Aaron Hernandez. Yeah. But I think he's okay. He wanted Randy Moss coming in. He likes the unpredictable.
I don't know. The second one of his wide receiver blows a blocking assignment and goes out to his Lamborghini, I think Bill Belichick is like, I'm done.
It'd be the same thing he's been doing for the last 40 years. He watched all these guys blow games and go with their Lamborghinis, and he dealt with it.
Yeah, but he cut all those guys. Yeah, but those are pros. These are college kids. Imagine.
Yeah, you can cut them easier in college.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying it's the truth.
I just feel like they're less, they're definitely less mature by definition. I think he'd blow a gasket unless he went to Army or Navy where there is no NIL and everybody's super disciplined and they would do what Bill wants and he'd be super happy where his dad coached. That is my best plan for him.
You know, maybe Service Academy students too, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, they're very regimented.
These are the best and brightest that we've got who are also sacrificing, for the good of the country. Maybe that's more of a Belichick type player, but it's not like the kids who are going to North Carolina are idiots.
No, not at all. But I think that Bill Belichick, it reminds me a lot of Bobby Knight, and I don't think Bobby Knight could coach in today's game because, he basically would be strangling guys for making $20 million a year instead of guys who play for the Hoosiers. It just feels like his temperament would not be an easy match to college football. I feel like Lane Kiffin is built for college football. Sark is built for college football. I just don't see it. But maybe you're right.
His best friend is one of the most successful coaches in the history of college football. Belichick and Saban, attached at the hip, same, coached on the same staff. So we think Saban, who's basically Belichick, who had all this success, I know they didn't have NIL for a lot of Saban's time, but he could be super successful and Belichick's going to fall on his face.
Don't you think Saban's the first guy to go, bud, different? It's a different thing.
Yeah, also Saban.
Because Saban knows how the NFL didn't work for him.
Saban is Mr. Personality compared to Bill Belichick.
Well, the other part too, you don't have to deal with an owner anymore. No more Robert Kraft meddling. No more Tom Brady's trainer gets to come in and tell everybody to stop eating tomatoes.
Yeah, but now you got dads and half agents asking for minutes guarantees and games played and this kind of stuff.
Bogus, please wipe out every TV show on the face of the earth and just give me a hidden camera of someone's dad coming in to try to tell Bill Belichick that his son should be getting more targets. That's all I want to watch now.
It'll happen.
Just give me that Netflix.
Definitely will happen.
Yeah, 100%.
And they get thrown out like DJ Jazzy Jeff from Uncle Phil.
I don't think so, because I don't think any wide receiver is going to sign wherever Bill Belichick is coaching.
I also don't think that this is really real unless the NFL has already told Bill there's no place for him to coach next year.
I think also, we talked about this off-air, that the agent of Bill Belichick just is getting as many interviews as he can to create a market.
Yeah.
And this is a great way to create a market in a harmless way. I also, if he went to USC, at least you have a chance to do something. North Carolina has never won anything, ever, in the history of football.
Which is why they treat you like a king.
Yeah, but I also think people believe that they don't want football to ever really be that good. Because it can't be better than basketball.
Definitely.
So. Did you ever think you were getting a shot at the greatest coach of all time in the NFL? Probably not. So, not that Mac Brown was, that Mac Brown was a bad coach. He won a national title. But you're not – Bill Belichick's in a different category. I think we'd all agree that.
Yeah. I mean,
he's earned that.
He would, I think his chances would be somewhere between no chance and 2% of success there.
That's why I think if he goes to North Carolina and wins the title, that would be more impressive than him winning a championship with any other NFL team.
Well, I mean, you might as well say if he went to Army and won a title.
Right.
You think it's that?
Yeah, I think Army has a much better chance of making the playoff than North Carolina.
Oh, I disagree.
Army almost made it this year.
I know, but I think North Carolina is kind of this wild, golden goose of like, why can't they be better?
Heck, go to UCF and run the Big 12.
I know, but I've seen guys win 10 games there. It's ACC, SMU. SMU had the death penalty, and now they're in the college football playoff. Like,
but they didn't have the death penalty 7 weeks ago.
No, I know, but I'm saying, but they've been a dormant program essentially for 30 years.
Can you imagine, also, how college football coaches recruit against each other? Can you imagine there's a quarterback and Bill Belichick comes in there, what Rhett Lashley's going to say about that? He's like, He's going to, I mean, those guys are going to kill Belichick on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, but I would say that, what are you going to do when Belichick calls Tom Brady and is like, you know, maybe Brady stops recruiting for Michigan and helps Bill Belichick land the next Drake May? I don't know.
Maddie.
Belichick, they're fine.
Do you think
fine.
Brady, and, oh,
they
come on.
They do the podcast. They're good.
Belichick and Brady?
Water under the bridge.
He's I don't know. First of all, Brady will always be a Michigan man, so there's no way he's helping. He's like, I think you
Michigan
should go to North Carolina.
Definitely enough men in Michigan.
Definitely. We've got it with the Michigan man thing.
But Bogus nailed it, though. North Carolina hamstrings himself. If the basketball is not number one there, they go into pure panic.
Can I also just mention, for all the Michigan men stuff, which we know is really important to them, the reason why you flipped Bryce Underwood is not because of a man. It was because of a woman, Larry Ellison's wife, who decided to call Dave Portnoy and all of a sudden came up with the $10 million, allegedly.
And did she give...
Michigan woman saves program should be headline.
And did she not use her real name when she was talking to Portnoy? Because he was calling her that, like, Joe Landers, and that's not her name, right?
Oh, boy. I don't know. And then I didn't...
And I'm sure, and I don't know if we know.
Oh, because I think one's her daughter and one's her. So I don't know who actually reached out to Portland.
Okay.
It might have been through a proxy.
Yeah. I mean, Larry Fedora won 11 games in North Carolina. If he can win 11 games in North Carolina, Bill Belichick can take the Tar Heels to the playoffs.
But it's got to be fast because he's 72. He's got to turn around real quick.
I think he can get good players there.
What are you, Rhett really Lashley already?
Oh, I'm just saying.
Sorry, negative recruiting.
That's what they did in 3 years. Wink, wink.
He's got to take a ready to go program, I think.
I feel you.
Yeah. Brett Lashley is going to be making $15 million as the head coach of Ohio State. He's not going to worry about that. Okay, Bogus is here.
Your headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off on limited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. I've got more from Dan Campbell's locker room speech last night in the middle of yelling about destiny and resiliency and toughness. This happened.
There you go, Skip. Keep throwing up, whatever you're doing up there. You're a freaking lad on the line.
That's when the camera cuts to Dan Skipper, who filled in last night for starting left tackle Taylor Decker. He's kneeling over, I think, what's a laundry cart, definitely in the middle of throwing up while coach, and he catches coach's eye while he's yelling about their destiny.
Hold on a second. That's like puking in the sink. It's like a terrible... You're going to puke in the laundry cart when the bathroom's probably right there.
Dan Skipper is my favorite NFL scrub ever.
He didn't do bad last night. He had one bad penalty against
And I say
him,
scrub like kind of like more like in like not as a negative way. He's just a backup. But like between like, he's like to me he's like Kevin from The Office. Like remember he was the guy that checked in that they said didn't check in last year.
Eligible.
He was so mad, he was going crazy, and then you know we all learned who Dan Skipper was. Now he's throwing up on camera. Kevin was pointing it out. I love this guy.
After Gibbs or Montgomery, one of them scored a touchdown, they went to high-five him. He's a gigantic man. I Googled his height last night. He's the tallest lineman in the league.
He's huge.
I had no idea. But, why isn't he like good then? If he's 6'9", 350?
Taylor Decker might be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And Penei Sewell has to be on the right side, I guess.
Yeah.
Puked in a laundry basket.
Yeah, unless he was putting something next to the laundry basket, but he seems to be right up against the laundry cart. So it's happening where it's happening. And he can hear coach's speech. But that's how much effort the Lions put in to beating the Packers last night. 34-31 in Detroit. Jake Bates drilling a 35-yard field goal as time expired after Campbell ran the ball on 4th-and-1 from the Green Bay 27 with 43 seconds left.
Just felt like... We needed to end it on offense, you know, and I did not want to give that ball back.
The game winner was the 5th and final lead change of the second half. A franchise record 11-game win streak has the Lions at 12-1 for the first time ever. They also clinched a playoff spot last night. They earned the season sweep of the Packers, and they stayed perfect within the NFC North. In non-Belichick coaching news, Utah State is reportedly hiring former BYU head coach Bronco Mendenhall for that same position. And Eric Bieniemy is done after one season as UCLA offensive coordinator. Apparently, his agent says this was always the plan, one and done, so Bieniemy could go back to the NFL in 2025. The Warriors snapped their 5-game skid without Steph Curry and Draymond Green last night, 99-93 over the Rockets. Houston head coach Ime Udoka thought a bad start doomed his team.
You got to come with some energy, some juice from the start. A few guys really didn't look like they showed up till after halftime.
Jonathan Kuminga scored a career-high 33 for Golden State.
Nikola Jokic had 27, 20 boards, 11 assists in the Nuggets 126-114 loss in Cleveland. Jokic now alone in third all-time with 139 career triple-doubles. Brandon Ingram scored 29 as the Pelicans snapped their nine-game skid, 126-124 over the Suns, and the Thunder rolled through Toronto 129-92. The St. Petersburg City Council has finally approved public money for a new Rays stadium. This decision had been hung up for the last few weeks, leading to a war of words between the team and city officials. A separate county commission vote on this matter comes later this month. Men's top 25 action. Penn State took down 8th-ranked Purdue, 81-70. Notre Dame top Texas, 80-70 in OT in South Bend in a top 10 women's battle. And finally, Jets and Sabres in overtime in Buffalo.
Morsi from the blue line. Heads it back off to Lowry. A shot. Stopped by Luukkonen. Lowry back in front. He scores! Adam Lowry will win it for Winnipeg. Jets win! Jets win! Jets win! In overtime tonight!
And then that guy died. 3-2.
Something
win.
You never hear on the football side. Sorry.
That seemed unnecessary, EJ.
Hey, did you see who's the dark horse candidate for your Jets, EJ?
Oh.
Mike Vrabel.
Oh.
No, not Mike Vrabel. Sorry. Yeah, Mike Vrabel's your long shot. Arthur Smith. I'm sorry, America.
Oh, man. You're
Arthur
about
Smith.
Went from Tennessee head coach, that's interesting, to Tennessee OC that's been disgraced as a head coach.
But here's the thing. Pittsburgh, they're now putting points up.
Against
he's their
Bengals.
Offensive coordinator.
I think Nathaniel Hackett could probably scheme up some stuff against the Bengals right
he
now.
He definitely can't.
Have you seen the Bengals defense?
I have, and even the Jets couldn't score on their sorry behind.
The Giants scored 7 points against them.
Poor Nico had his wisdom. Nico had his wisdom teeth out, what, 3 days ago?
Yeah.
How you feeling, dude?
Not good.
I'm sorry. It's a rough one. We've all been there. A lot of us have.
I haven't eaten real food since Sunday.
And you're already skinny as a rail.
Mm-hmm.
Not to comment on your body. Sorry about that. That might be an HR violation. Are you okay, though? Is there anything we can do for you?
No, I'm hanging in.
If calling Nico skinny is an HR violation, then,
well, this is radio.
Then I don't
it's theater of the mind. So maybe people thought we were joking around when we said that Nico was the security guard for the show, which was said earlier today.
This happened on Monday, though, Nico?
Yeah.
But Nico, you said you had to go back to the dentist?
Yeah, so Wednesday I went back to restitch one of, because I got three taken out.
Yeah.
So one of them had to get restitched, and it still hasn't fully stopped bleeding, which is why I can tell in my voice there's gauze in my mouth.
Did you go to the Brent Gretzky of dentists?
You got to go to Wayne, the Wayne Gretzky of taking out wisdom teeth. What have you been eating, if not solids?
Yogurt, chocolate pudding, mashed potatoes.
Oh.
Nothing that's exciting.
Smart to do this after Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Feeling for you.
Thank you.
Let us know if we can get you a protein shake or something, which maybe that should happen.
Get some, get some Ensure.
You can use this as an opportunity to bulk up a little bit. All right. Well, we feel for Nico. Okay. Lots more to do, including Maggie and Perloff's picks.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. the plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence, and the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your way next.
Maggie and Perloff's NFL Picks.
It's been a steep ascent into the crevasse. It has been a rough couple weeks, especially for me. Perloff, you're coming off a bad week as well. That's our caveat. That's
the
our
worst
warning.
The worst week ever. Thanksgiving was not friendly to me.
EJ, what's our records?
Okay, so Maggie, last week you were another 2-3.
How many weeks in a row is that?
Yeah, you were 2-3. You got Jaguars and you got Cowboys.
I think I'm 2-3 for at least a month.
Yes. So now you're 36-29 overall.
I'm still ahead, though.
Perloff, sorry to say this, buddy. You're 0-5 last week.
First 0-5 week we've ever had.
Yep. So now you are 32-33. You dipped below 500. You were making a steep climb towards Maggie's first place standing.
Wait, below 500?
Yes, because you lost five.
What's the number?
32-33.
Okay.
Still time, though. Good thing we got off to such good starts. This mid to late season swoon has just been brutal. This is how we do it. Two college picks and against the spread and over-under. Three NFL picks, over-under against the spread, and a player prop. Pearl, you want to go first?
Okay. This is it's a tough week because we don't have as many games to choose from, obviously. You know, for the college, I'm going to do my two college first. Every time I see Arizona State, and obviously Arizona mailed in that game, but they impress me more and more. They are at -1 right now against Iowa State. So I'm going to run with that team. Just, I'm not even going to look at weather. I don't care about what the stakes are. I feel like Arizona State belongs in the Final 12, and I just kind of see that happening. Okay, my over-under, this is tough because the weather is cold, and you got me nervous about it. But I feel like UNLV and Boise State's going to be a shootout. I'm going over 57.5. Neither team is great at tackling, so I feel like it's going to be Ashton Jetty's going to make it a statement. I like Boise State to win the game, and I've had some success with them going over, so I'm going to go back to that well.
Okay. Wait, did you just say about the Iowa State, Arizona State, you don't care about the weather?
No, it's a Jerry World.
Yeah, I just had to double check. Like, I think that one's inside, so you might be good there.
No, I'm not even gonna break down. I guess Matt Campbell never loses in this situation. He's unbelievable in Dallas, and he's a bit of a problem with Iowa State. But and EJ, because you know what, it was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. EJ said, "Watch out for Arizona State to win the Big 12." I was like, "Arizona State? Did they lose to like a bad team?" And they've been untouchable since then.
How about wouldn't this happen? Arizona State wins this game, and somehow Jerry Jones is sitting there and is like, gets Kenny Dillingham to be the next head coach of the Cowboys.
Oh wow,
I can see it. Anyway, my college picks for this week. I'm going to go with Oregon. I'm going to lay the 3.5. I'm going with the grain here. I have been on the losing side for many weeks in a row, so I'm trying to hopefully take what is not going to be a layup, I'm sure, but I'm going to lean into James Franklin coming up short in big games. And then for my over-under, I'll take SMU and Clemson over 55.5. And the reason why, because I know both of their defenses are good, style points. I think both of these coaches are going into this game saying, we've got to win, we've got to put up points, we've got to look impressive, because no one trusts this committee when it comes to a conference outside of the Big Ten or the SEC. So the ACC and the Big 12 have to look really pretty here if they want to make sure to avoid, like, if SMU loses, that they would still get in. So I think everyone's going for style points. Give me the SMU Clemson over 55.
Yeah, I really like that, too, because even if SMU is losing the game, they can't lose
badly.
So they'll be, it could be the fourth quarter down three. That's a really good pick. Okay, let's go to the pros. I'm going to start with my over-under. I'm going with the Simpsons game. The Bengals can't stop anybody. They're at Dallas, over 49.5. This is really a Cooper Rush stand bet. Love me some Cooper Rush. Very efficient, Maggie. Nobody can throw a little loopy 12-yard pass like my man Cooper Rush. So I'm taking the over-under of that. Again, someone we love. I'm going to go for my prop. Jameis Winston against the Steelers, 254 passing yards. I'm going over on that. Again, every time he throws the ball, could go to a Brown, could go to a Steeler. You never know. That's the most fun part about it. Okay, lastly, Seahawks, +3 at Arizona. I know Arizona played pretty well against the Vikings last week. Doesn't the Seahawks feel like kind of a team of destiny, like they are the team that's going to capture the NFC West now that they're healthy, figured out some things? So I'm going Seattle in Arizona, +3.
Interesting. Okay, I like them. I'm going to go with the Sunday night game, Chargers +4. I'm going against our pal Nick Costos on this one, even though he made some good points about people being a little too down on the Chiefs. I think you give Jim Harbaugh the second crack here at the Chiefs. Chiefs aren't blowing anybody out, and the Chargers and Justin Herbert specifically generally plays well at Arrowhead, which is tough to do. Give me Philly and Carolina under 46. Now, I looked at the weather. Everything's going to be good. It's actually unseasonably warm in Philadelphia on Sunday. It's going to be like a high of 50, and it's going to be clear. And I know that Carolina has put some points up even on those Chiefs. I think Philly's defense is so legit. Maybe it's because I sit next to you. And I think they're going to win this game like, you know, 30-something to 7. I think they're going to hold Carolina.
I've seen them do that game, 31-7.
Something like that.
Against a bad team, yep.
And then for my player prop, Justin Jefferson. This is a big game with Kirk Cousins coming back to Minnesota. Falcons at the Vikings, but the Falcons' secondary is just not good. They're one of the bottom in the league. I think Justin Jefferson could have a really big day, so Sam Darnold, I don't love betting on Sam Darnold, but I think he can get the ball to Jefferson over 6.5 receptions. I'm thinking about a big day here for Justin Jefferson.
I like that. We have not talked enough about the Kirk Cousins revenge game.
Because I'm not sure if he's playing.
Yeah.
He is, but you know, a lot of people think Michael Penix should actually be playing in this game.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, like, basically, does Atlanta try and help Kirk Cousins have a big day? Because this is such an emotional game. Like, I feel like everybody, like Atlanta, is up for this game to help out their guy.
Recap your picks.
Okay, so I have Arizona State -1. I have Boise and UNLV over 57.5 in the pros. I have Bengals Cowboys over 49.5, Seahawks +3. And my man, Jameis Winston, over 254 passing yards.
Okay, I'm going to take Oregon. I'm going to lay the 3.5. SMU and Clemson over 55.5. And then for the pros, give me the Chargers +4 points on the road in Arrowhead. I'll take Philly and Carolina under 46 and Justin Jefferson over 6.5 receptions. Vikings host the Falcons.
Do you realize we'll have a 12-team playoff when we get here on Monday morning?
We could have 12-team playoff.
Well, we will.
Yeah. We will have 12-team playoff. We could also have Juan Soto.
Oh, I forgot about that dude.
The owners' meetings begin
we get that
on
today.
Sunday.
Yeah.
We could have Juan Soto signed. We will have a college football playoff.
We could have more
teams clinching playoff spots for the NFL.
I'm rooting for the Dodgers to steal him away from New York because I would laugh so hard at the city if they didn't get Juan Soto.
Boo this Sorry. Man. Boo this man.
They're throwing rotten fruit at you. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Thank you to Nico Scarlatos. Thank you to Ray, who was hanging with us all day. Ray did a bang-up job. Bogish, Kaplan, the Weedos, the Coffee Drinkers.